Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Rabbi Joel Seltzer, Vice Chancellor for Institutional Advancement at the Jewish Theological Seminary, with a commentary for Parshat Tzav, Shabbat HaGadol, The Primacy of Questions. Shoalin v'dorshin b'hilchot ha-Pesach kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yom. One should ask and answer questions related to the laws of Passover 30 days prior to Passover. So teaches Babylonian Talmud Psachim 6a. Another text teaches us, it is known as Shabbat HaGadol, because on the Shabbat before Pesach, the congregation would sit for a long time listening to the teaching of the rabbi. And the rabbi's teaching covered many topics, the laws of chametz and matzah, rules of Pesach and Yom Tov, items related to the Exodus from Egypt, etc. And the congregation would not depart for their homes until the teaching was over. And the day is seen in the eyes of the congregation as larger and longer than the other days. Hence it is called Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Sabbath. I know it is difficult to imagine, but the tradition throughout the communities of Europe was that the rabbi would only stand up on the bima to give a formal sermon twice a year, on Shabbat Shuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and on Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat preceding Passover. That's it. No weekly sermon, no Devar Torah for the e-newsletter, only twice a year to teach, and often at great length, on the laws of repentance and the laws of Passover, respectively. These two moments in time, situated at opposite poles of the Jewish calendar, one focused on individual salvation, the other focused on national redemption, serve as the perfect platform for the community rabbi of old and of today to stand before the community and offer a teaching that is meant to elevate the experience of not just the Sabbath, but the holiday which follows it as well. So you can imagine the shock when one year the rabbi of Berlin, Rabbi Tzvi Halberstam, decided not to give the drasha on Shabbat HaGadol. When his congregation approached him and asked him why he would not speak, he said, "The matter of this drasha is referenced in the Talmud where it says, one should ask and answer questions related to the laws of Passover 30 days prior to Passover. First, the congregation must ask the questions. Only then does the rabbi know how to answer them. And as of today, no one has asked me a single question about Pesach." The truth is, of all the Jewish holidays of the year, Pesach requires the most forethought, the most planning, the most cleaning, and yes, the most questions. The Jewish tradition understands deeply that ritual does not simply occur. Instead, it is the result of painstaking preparation and beginning with the end in mind. There are three types of questions we are meant to ask as part of our planning for the holiday: the logistical, the pedagogical, and the communal. First, let's take the logistical. The first reason we must ask and answer questions 30 days prior to the holiday is that the primary experience of the holiday, the Seder, usually takes place in the home and not in the synagogue. Each household is responsible for creating a Seder meal, and that involves a lot of questions. Which areas of the home require cleaning and which ones do not? What is kosher this year and what is not? What's the rule about unopened tuna fish and orange juice? And always remember to download this year's copy of the Rabbinical Assembly's annual Pesach Guide. Other questions that need asking and answering long before the holiday begins are, who's hosting this year? Who are we inviting? What's on the menu? And where's that shopping lift we left for ourselves last year? Now the pedagogical. In Rabbi Moshe Isserlis's gloss to a comment of the Shulchan Aruch regarding Shabbat HaGadol, he adds, it is a tradition to read the Haggadah at Mincha. Once again, with the focus of the holiday being on the home, each Seder leader becomes the rabbi of their home and therefore needs to develop a lesson plan for how to create a meaningful experience for all involved. First, we must review the material of the Haggadah once again. What parts of it are familiar to us, overflowing with tunes and memories of Seder's past? What parts of it need review, practice, learning, commentary? Other pedagogical questions we must ask ourselves prior to the holiday include, which Haggadot will we be using this year? Who's leading the four questions? How will we make this Seder welcoming to non-Jews with whom we share our joy? Where is their slavery, and what is our responsibility to eradicate it? Where are the lurking dangers to our values and traditions that, in each and every generation, seek to challenge our way of life? And lastly, we are meant to ask questions about our community. Although much of the emphasis of the holiday of Passover is on the individual and their household, we risk missing the entire essence of the holiday if we only focus on our home, on the table setting, or on the menu. Once again, in the Shulchan Aruch, we read, "One must ask regarding the laws of Passover 30 days prior to Passover." Gloss: "It is a tradition to buy wheat to distribute to the poor for the needs of Passover. Everyone who lives in the city for 12 months must contribute." Here, Rabbi Isserlis's gloss teaches us that an important part of our Passover preparations must be ensuring that the community in which we live has the resources to support every individual's ability to fulfill the commandments of the holiday. As we learn in Mishnah Psachim, "Even the poor among the people Israel shall not eat until they have reclined, nor should the distributors of the charity plate give them less than the 4 cups of wine, even if they are already sustained through the charity plate." These are our questions, our way of preparing for the holiday that is approaching, for our Jewish world, for our communities, and in our homes. By asking questions as to how we create the rituals of Passover, we are actually answering the question of the impertinent wicked child when they ask, "What is this ritual to you?" The answer is, "Look at all we do for the sake of this holiday. It is because it means everything to us."
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.